mentioned it on Sunday, this book called Margin by Dr. Richard Swenson. He describes margin this way. It's the space between our load and our limits. Listen to that. It is the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion. The space between breathing freely and just suffocating. And if you live long enough, and when I read this and when I study this, you wanna know, I've been under such conviction, and maybe I'm just gonna teach this and talk about this for myself, but margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. It's that extra time. It's that what is available beyond what is absolutely necessary. You know, sometimes I'll have an appointment, and for whatever reason, I might write it in my calendar. I might not get the time right, and I'll get there. It'll be half an hour, and they'll say, well, you're not due here for another half an hour. And you know what I say? I used to say, oh, my God, I could have been doing this. Now, you know what I say? Praise the Lord. I'll wait. Let me know when my time is here. Because that's margin, and we need that. Margin is if I have 30 minutes to get somewhere, and it takes me 20 minutes to get there, I have 10 minutes of margin. Margin is if I have $100 in my hand and $80 worth of bills to pay, I have $20 left over. That's margin. And I want to ask you how margin plays out in your life on a regular basis. Or is this foreign to you? Margin would be showing up 5 or 10 minutes early to a meeting so that you're not stressed out all the time and coming in late all the time. Margin financially would be having leftover money at the end of every month. Come on, everybody said, I want that kind of margin. Margin is having distance between you and the temptation that tries to pull you away from what is right on a regular basis in your life. And for some, you're morally on the edge all the time. And we need the margin in our lives. Some of you, it's important for you to be here tonight. And I know there's 50% of the people that are in here right now. You've got something that you're in your mind. You think, well, I could be doing this or I should be doing this. But the reality of it is you'll get that done and a whole lot more because you chose to step away and put some margin in your life. Margin could be having an emotional capacity to deal with unknown problems. You know, sometimes people are on such a tightrope all the time that if something comes into their life that strikes them emotionally, they just blow up. I know nobody here has ever done that, but maybe you have known somebody that has done that. Margin is sometimes when one of your kids come home and drops a bomb on you that you did not expect, and all of a sudden you have a meltdown over it because there is absolutely no margin in your life. Margin could be time for you to sit, for you to think about the things of God, for you to meditate, for you to dream. Margin could be having significant time with God that you don't normally have and you don't set aside. Simply, margin is what many of us just absolutely do not have. And I'm convinced that some of the greatest moments that happen in our lives happen during that space of margin in our lives. Listen to me now. In Luke chapter 10, here's a scripture that used to bother me. I've got a couple scriptures. I'm going to share this one, and I'm going to tell you the other one that I used to struggle with. I used to struggle with this one. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 38 through 41. You all know it. Jesus and his disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made, and she came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me. Look at what Jesus said. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered, you're worried and you're upset about many things, but few things are really needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better. She chose the one, and it will not be taken from her. I used to get upset when I read that because I've been a Martha. My wife and I, we've worked. We've been busy so other people could be Mary's. But the reality of it is, God didn't want us just to live our lives like a Martha. Yes, there's always things to do. Yes, there's always more that has to be done. Every time we get up here, we say, we need this. We could use that. Yes, we're trying to make an imprint on our community, on our region, and even beyond. We want to make an imprint not only on your life, but on your children and your children's children. I want to make that happen. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in doing so much that we fail to see God wants us just to stop for a minute and really focus on having some margin in our life. That was a scripture that used to really bother me. In fact, I struggled with that. Paulie, pull that other one. Here's the other one. I was thinking about it earlier, and I didn't have it in the PowerPoint here, but I wanted to tell you. Here's the other scripture that used to bother me out of Genesis 4:4-5. It says, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain got angry, and his countenance fell. And I used to think, now God, the dude brought you an offering. Why would you look on Cain and look at Abel in a different way? I used to struggle with that scripture. That used to bother me. So here's the two scriptures in the scripture that I used to really struggle with. And the reality of it is, even with Cain and Abel, Cain was so busy, he just thought, I haven't even got time. Here, I'll just give this to the Lord. Where Abel said, no, I'm going to bring a first of what God has given to me. And God said, because you did that, I am pleased with you. Cain, not so much. See, I've learned in life that the Lord isn't so uptight about how my perception with things are. He's more concerned with how I live life and how I give to him what he has asked of me. So these two women in Mark chapter 10 had the same opportunity. We have Mary and Martha, Jesus, Son of God, is present, and Mary creates a moment. But Martha, she just moves on from the moment. She doesn't stop long enough to get anything that Jesus has got. And I want to just put this into your heart tonight. And I want to ask you together, is that you tonight? Have you created the margin in your life for God to do something great in? I'm going to be done here in just a minute. The Bible says that Martha wasn't distracted either by something bad or by something that was evil. She wasn't distracted by sinfulness. This is such a cool thought here. She was distracted by something that was good. She was distracted for good things. She was distracted by good things instead of stopping in a margin for great things. I went into the Sears store today. I haven't been in a Sears store in years. And when I walked in there, I remembered when I was a kid, Sears used to have what? Good, better, and what else? And best. Martha took the good. She took the better. Mary took the best. And you know what happened to my iPad, Aaron? It locked up. So I might have to just finish off the hip here. What'd you say? I better what? I better get the best. Oh, it just came back to life here. Praise the Lord. She was distracted by something good. If Satan, our spiritual enemy, cannot make us really bad, he will try to make us really busy. You and I need margin in our lives. Listen, you need margin in your life. Martha was convinced that she was doing something that was correct. So let me just leave you with these two thoughts. Number one, when margin decreases, your stress increases. Think about that just a minute. Think about that. I know when my wife, you know how I know when my wife gets all, when she doesn't have margin? She gets snippy at me. She gets a cold sore on her lip. Her stress increases. Everything else is happening. She knows it when it's in my life. I get snappy. I know nobody else here gets snappy, right? I love to hear the laughing right there. Happens in our finances. Happens in our relationship, in our marriage. You know, when there's no margin in your marriage, fights happen. Boom. Why did you do that? Why did you say that? Why are you laughing? No margin in your life. Something breaks. Something is broken. You think about now what? Stress contributes to that, to every area of your life. The second thing is, as your margin decreases, your relational intimacy also decreases. If I had a nickel for every time people say, I'm just, you know, hey, how you doing? I haven't seen you. I'm just busy. Benny, this has nothing to do with how you just got up here and talked tonight. You get so engaged in things in life that you leave the margin out that it takes for you to live healthy in your life. Too busy for people, too busy for God, too busy for normal. Listen to me now. Are you listening to me tonight? If you don't make plans to have margin in your life, things are going to go awry in every area of your life. Now, you have to build your schedule and build margin in your schedule, because it's not just going to happen. You know, you don't create more time. What do? You take time. So if you don't build margin, there's times I go places and I do things. I don't want to do it. I'm thinking, oh, but you know what? Sometimes I need that margin. It's margin just to get away, just to do something different. You need that in your life. You got to plan that. The Bible says in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You know what he says? It's not up on the screen. He said, I will give you rest. You could say, come to me, all that are stressed out, those that are all up against it, those, you know, you got some are going to fall apart, your business, whatever it is. He said, I'll give you rest if you'll come to me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for you'll find rest for your weary souls. Rest comes when you have great margin in your life. You know, if, I want to just say this about the schedule again. You know, I talked Sunday about having a routine. You have to plan things out in your life. I don't know how you handle things. Some people in my life, I've told them for years, work off a calendar. You can't live without people say, oh, I don't need a calendar. I know where I'm going. Do you really? No, you don't. Work off a calendar. Write things down. You can write things down to the minute and stick to the schedule. It'll allow you to have margin in your life. Let me just insert one more thing here, because I'm going to be done in just a minute. Aren't you glad the guy didn't show up tonight and I am up here
Come on.
Don't take God and the things and the purposes of God out of your life and say, well, that's where my margin is going to come from. You'll hurt yourself in the long run. I've been doing this long enough. I have a vision, I have a picture in my mind of people that have looked at me and told me, I'm just not going to do that. I can see this one individual. He's standing in my driveway. He was in the valley of decision one time. I told him a couple things he could do. I can see it. It could be, I don't know, 15 years ago now. I don't know. It's a long time. I can see this person standing in my driveway, and I'm having a conversation. It's late. It's dark. It's late at night, and they're struggling with something, and I can see them just like this. And I knew the enemy was pulling them one way, and God was pulling them the other way. Pretty soon that person said, I'm not going to. You know, he looked at me and he said, I'm going to do what I want to do. And nobody's going to tell me different. Well, you know, somebody says that to me, I say, c'est la vie, baby, I love you. You know, like I tell people, I'm not a counselor. I tell you five things. You do them, you'll be blessed. If you don't, you're just dumb. That's all. I can't help you after that. The guy, he just looks at me and says, no, I'm going to do it. And this is what I want to do. And I'm going to do it. And nobody's going to tell me different. Okay. Catastrophic events in this individual's life. No margin. No time for God. No time for the people that he loved the most. And consequently, the results of that were incredibly painful. Make time. Close on this scripture, Psalm 46:10. I shared it Sunday. Be still and know that I am God. If you don't have margin, if you don't stop, you know, for some of you tonight, you know, I don't need ice cream anymore. I'm not anti. I used to eat it every night of the week. Ask my boys. I ate it every night. Didn't I, Ben? Every night. I quit eating it. Came home. We went to the food trucks with our great friends, Wayne and Sean, a couple weeks ago. I didn't even tell you guys this. On the way home, because I said to him, I said, you want to get ice cream? Shawnee's the boss when we go to the food trucks. Let me tell you this. I got about a minute and a half. I told first time we went to the food trucks. It's the price you pay for being my friend, Johnny. We ate. And what do we... Now, there's 40-some food trucks. And what do we see on the way out? A taco truck. Yeah, I saw it. A taco truck. And I said, we got to get a taco. We couldn't eat anymore. And I looked at Shawnee. I said, what kind of taco you want, beef or chicken? She goes, beef. So anyways, I just had to tell you that. I'm coming home. I went. I got ice cream. Bothered my stomach. I haven't had it. It bothered me. I got kind of sick from it. And when I'm thinking about ice cream tonight, I'm thinking about it. I'm going to go over there. I'm not... You know, I might lick on it, but you know what's important for me and for you? Margin. Margin. To stop. To look at somebody else that maybe you don't know. Say, hey, my name's Art. My name's Dustin. My name's Dan. My name's Jim. My name's Ron. My name is Craig. Look them. Say, how you doing? What do you do? Margin. How many of you are going to work on this in your lives in the days ahead? Come on. How many of you are going to work on it? Close your eyes and bow your head with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I so know I need this more. I need to work in this harder in my life. I pray for each and every one here tonight, God. that you will help us through the power of your Holy Spirit to have and create. Lord, you gave us the power to make these decisions in our life. I ask you that you will help that to be a reality in our lives. Lord, I just pray favor and kindness, grace and blessing over every single life, over every family tonight. I ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. God, I just pray where there's lack here tonight, where there may be pain or hurt, that you would heal that. Where there's confusion, Lord, I pray that you would bring clarity. Where there's brokenness, I ask you, God, to bring great healing. Where there is just confusion and misunderstanding, clear it up, I ask, God. And I give you thanks, Lord. And I give you praise, Lord, for that. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, as we eat ice cream together tonight, take every fat gram, calorie, and anything that's bad, take it out of it for us. I pray. Make our fellowship sweet together in Jesus' name. And come on, everybody said, amen. And I love you. God bless you so much. Next door, right next door in the Generation Center, the big overhead door will be open. I hope to see you over there, okay? Okay.